On Aspire with Emma Greed, we talk about mindset, ambition, and the work that actually moves the needle. Listen to Aspire with Emma Greed, available where you get your podcasts.
Get breaking sports news here. WFAN, WFAN FM, WFAN FM HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Mark Belusis.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan, WFAN.
Ah, yes, 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 yes. And so we begin 8 a.m. as we all await another winter storm coming our way. Mark Melusis with you right here at The Fan in New York. Number to call, 888-808-1019. Alex across the way, other side at the controls. Rolling right up until high noon. Lot to chat about, lot to get into. Hit me up on X at Mark Melusis. That's Mark with a C. We'll get into Bichette third base. Judge and the Yankees is the Bombers. And rolling it back, Brian Cashman, not necessarily the case. Well, in some ways it is, some ways it's not. A little NFL, we'll mix in some news nuggets there. And obviously you got a big gold medal game going on this morning over in Milan, Italy, between the United States men's hockey team, the Canadian men's hockey team. So should be a good one. We'll follow along and keep you captivated with that as well. But we kick it off with what a scene it was last night at Madison Square Garden. And, you know, we have gone through, and regular season basketball is regular season basketball. I've made it perfectly clear time and time again when the decision was made, you know, and James Dolan was running those exit interviews last year at the Knicks practice facility, and Leon Rose issuing the statement that the Knicks were moving on from Tom Thibodeau and that the Knicks' sole and only goal is to win a championship for the fans, even though Leon Rose never meets with the media. And I don't, listen, it is what it is. He doesn't necessarily have to be. And sometimes guys are uncomfortable with it. Individuals are uncomfortable with it. You know, they're maybe thinking on their feet. Maybe it's they don't want to say the wrong thing. Maybe it's a case of they're a lot more comfortable doing their due diligence, doing their job. But that's been a criticism of Leon Rose. But doing their job kind of in the shadows, in the background, and not necessarily need to be face forward in order to do so. So, but Leon Rose has been great. He really has been. But I mean, I didn't love that decision. It made it perfectly clear I would not have gotten rid of Tom Thibodeau. But when the Knicks decided to bring Mike Brown aboard to be their next head coach, and there was the, you know, celebration from the minutes police, celebration from those that looked at Tom Thibodeau as being too old school, celebration from those that thought that the offense was not necessarily a modern NFL, a modern NBA offense, that they needed to kind of get a little bit of an uptick there. So all those that celebrated the move saying, yeah, 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 absolutely, this is going to be great. The Knicks are now going to be a championship, you know, caliber team because they need an adjustment as head coach. In order to take that adjustment or make that adjustment or take that jump, They needed to change their head coach. Didn't love the decision. Brown will be ultimately, when you look at Mike Brown as the head coach of the New York Knicks, ultimately he's going to be judged based on what this team does in the spring. What they do into the spring, into the early summer months, ultimately in terms of what this team does in the NBA playoffs. But you got to also enjoy the journey. And after the Knicks got taken by in the woodshed by Cade Cunningham and the Detroit Pistons, and there are still issues when you look at the roster and when you look at this New York Knicks team and thinking about whether or not they can get through the Eastern Conference. And you know the mainstays, the contenders. Obviously, it's Cunningham and the Pistons who treat the Knicks like the redheaded stepchild, at least in the regular season. You've got Harden and obviously Mitchell and the Cleveland Cavaliers. And then you've got the Boston Celtics who have not punted on this season after the Tatum ruptured Achilles tendon last year against the Knicks in that playoff series, but have actually played really good basketball. Give Joe Mazzulla and company a lot of credit. And potentially, they could get Jason Tatum back here at some point you know, before the start of the NBA playoffs. We'll see if that indeed does play out, but that's really where it's trending right now. So those are the four top teams. Nobody necessarily believes in Joel Embiid, the Orlando Magic, everything and the like in the conversations before the season started, but it's really kind of the four, right? That's really what it is. And the Knicks will be, you'll judge the Mike Brown decision and the job that he did as head coach based on what the Knicks do come the playoffs. But last night was sweet. It really was because, you know, not only the fact that You come back from, you know, 17-18 down in the fourth quarter with a tad under 11 minutes to go in the game. You watch, you know, Ime Udoka not call any timeouts whatsoever for the Houston Rockets. And the Knicks are cutting into that lead. And you're watching the Houston Rockets go out there sputter offensively. You can't go out there and generate a quick shot. You watch a guy like Kevin Durant, who basically said he didn't want to come to the Knicks because he didn't want to be the Messiah, and decide to go to Brooklyn and play basketball for the Nets. Not necessarily didn't work out. The duo of Durant and Irving didn't work. And then the trio of Durant, Irving, and James Harden obviously didn't work. But who it came up against last night in Durant and company was awfully sweet. And the fact that the Knicks come back and have that kind of a fourth quarter comeback, and you see the performance by OG Anunoby, who at one point in time the Knicks had a 13-point lead, but OG Anunoby in the first half was very, very good. Karl Anthony Towns was fantastic last night. Of course, it's the captain, Jalen Brunson, with the big jumper that gives them the lead late in the fourth quarter. You see the performance by Alvarado. How about the steal? I think it was at one point in time down four. You know, late fourth quarter, the steal on Durant, and then the layup later on down the line, right down the lane, and the layup to cut the lead down to two once again, where the Rockets had an opportunity there to give themselves a little bit of breathing room. That was fun. You know, those are fun games. Those really are. When you get down to it, I mean, there's a lot to like about what you saw last night from the New York Knicks, because the New York Knicks got off the mat after getting beaten down by the Detroit Pistons, after, you know, blowing a double-digit lead, after being down double digits, as that game looked like it was dead in the water. And I have a little fourth-quarter magic in Madison Square Garden to see that place absolutely rocking. I mean, that was a fun time. That was a great regular season win. It really was. Great regular season win. Are there issues when you look at this New York Knicks team? Yeah, there are issues. There are concerns. When you look at Brunson and Towns defensively, there are concerns where, you know, you just as you were concerned about Tom Thibodeau in the offense, you get concerned about Mike Brown in the defense. There are concerns when you look at whether or not this Knicks team can go out there defensively, get a big-time stop late. There are concerns in terms of how you're going to go out there and defend Cade Cunningham. Don't really have an option there. There are going to be concerns about whether, you know, as for large portions of that game last night, for the better part of the second and third quarter, the Houston Rockets did an unbelievable job of defending and double-teaming Jalen Brunson. Where's the Knicks offense going to go there? But here's where you give Brown credit. And you've seen it time and time again throughout the course of the regular season. The criticism of Thibodeau, even though I thought it was unjustified, the criticism of Thibodeau was basically that, you know, he trusted basically five guys, maybe six. That was it. Those guys are going to log a ton of minutes during the course of the regular season. They're going to play a lot. They're going to play a lot of games. They're going to start a lot of games. They're going to log a lot of minutes in those games. It wasn't necessarily a concern about fatigue, wear and tear, anything of that nature. You're going to squeeze the lemon. How much are those guys going to have ready? Or they can make the other argument. Are they going to be battle-tested come playoff time? Here's where you give Brown credit. You know, Brown's willing to make adjustments, understanding the matchups that you're going up against, and realizing that maybe it's not one guy's particular night. You saw last night at times with Mikal Bridges off the court. You saw it at times with OG. You've seen it where, you know, you're mixing in a Landry Shamet. Obviously, who's been very, very good before injury and after injury, and I give him a ton of credit. I wasn't the biggest Landry Shamet fan a year ago, but he was really good last night. Once again, he's been really good this year for the New York Knicks. You know, when you look at Alvarado and the toughness that he brings and the acquisition by Leon Rose from the New Orleans Pelicans at the NBA trade deadline, here's where you give Brown credit. You might be concerned about this Knicks team defensively. You might be a little bit concerned and say, well, you know, where do they stand in terms of the Eastern Conference without Harden on the Cavaliers, potentially Tatum returning to the Boston Celtics, and then obviously you've got the Detroit Pistons, who look super motivated after losing to the Knicks last year in the NBA playoffs in the Eastern Conference.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The concern, though, is, and all those concerns are fair. In the regular season, though, you look at Brown and what he's been able to accomplish here with the New York Knicks, And even though they've got things to figure out against the upper echelon teams, and I can't wait to see the Knicks go on the road and take on the Cleveland Cavaliers in a couple games, but here's where you give Brown a ton of credit. He's willing to adjust. He is not locked in or married to that starting lineup. And it's going to be those guys that he is going to ride and die with, regardless of what his eyes are showing him on the court. That's what you give Brown credit for. And last night was a perfect case in point. Understanding the players. Now you got to have the depth. And we could be critical in terms of whether or not the Knicks had the roster for Tom Thibodeau to go out there and be able to orchestrate it with that bench when he was there. He didn't have necessarily the caliber of the bench that Mike Brown's dealing with now, but Tom Thibodeau has shown it in the past. He doesn't necessarily trust the bench guys. He trusts his starters more so than anything else. That's where you give Brown credit. And last night was a hell of a victory. Last night was one of those games in which you said to yourself, oh my, the Knicks are about to lose three straight games at home. The Knicks are, you know, couldn't rebound and respond. You know, as I've done in the past, you know, rebound and respond this year, I should say. Rebound and respond after a bad performance, bad loss against the Detroit Pistons. And not a bad loss, a bad performance against a really good basketball team. They showed themselves to be non-competitive, where all the conversations coming out of that game from a lot of people were that, wow, the Knicks are not a true championship contender. We'll all find out together. We'll find out about this team's mental toughness. We'll find out about this team defensively. Come playoff time. We're not going to learn that. Not with great education are you all of a sudden going to learn that and have that great understanding of what this team is going to be come playoff time. We're all going to find it out then. But up until that point in time, you got to enjoy nights like last night at Madison Square Garden. That was fun. It was a good night to be a New York Knicks fan. There's no question about it. It was an absolute blast. For Brunson and company, you know, he hits the big-time shot. When that magic starts to get going in the fourth quarter and the Knicks are starting to feel it a little bit and you're starting to see the Houston Rockets and in any kind of comeback like that that you saw last night at Madison Square Garden, they got two things need to come into play. Number one, you need a little help from the opponent. And the Knicks got a lot of help from the Rockets last night, who looked dysfunctional offensively down the stretch. And then number two, you got to go out there and be able to execute, which the Knicks did. And to the Durant point, who obviously he's got his own issues down in Houston, if you've been following along, and you know the stuff on social media and burner accounts and everything and the like, and you've seen the Rockets, and Durant is always the guy that's always looking someplace else. The grass is always greener someplace else, whether it be when he's in Golden State, he all of a sudden loves what the Brooklyn Nets and Kenny Atkinson is doing, then they get rid of Kenny Atkinson and Steve Nash. Then when it doesn't work out in Brooklyn, you know, he wants to go someplace else. He ends up in Phoenix. Doesn't work out at all in Phoenix. And then when he's in Phoenix, he wants to go someplace else. He ends up in Houston with the Rockets. He's basically been, you know, he's never happy, never satisfied, never enjoys what he's doing right in the here and now. Wonderful basketball player, a Hall of Famer, unbelievable shooter for a man his size. I mean, and never going to knock his game. What you do criticize, and when he was in Oklahoma City, he had obviously the doe eyes for the Golden State Warriors, and when he went to Golden State, they became even that much more dynamic. But the fact that it happened to Durant in a regular season game, mind you, I understand that. Not going to put even that much more of importance of it. It's just a regular season game. But the fact that a Durant-led team for the Houston Rockets last night had that game in the palm of their hands and then basically watched them flush it down the toilet and watching the Knicks come back and win that game in regulation, that was fun. It was fun. I mean, it puts a smile on your face because of his decision not to want the Knicks. To go to Brooklyn, to be a net, to do all those things. But last night was a fun night. It really was. You know, I thought I was going to come on the airwaves this morning and kick off the program at 8 a.m. sharp, you know, on this Sunday morning, back from a little bit of a sojourn up to Quebec, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But thought I would get on this on the airwaves this Sunday morning and be talking about the Knicks and a brutal performance last night against the Houston Rockets, you know, where they get embarrassed, they lose by double digits, they show no heart, show no fire. And that's not exactly in any way, shape, or form what you saw. What you saw last night was the Knicks backs up against the wall, and they responded. And that's what good teams do. And you don't win a championship in February. You don't win a championship over 82 games during the course of the regular season. But you do need those kind of moments – and those kind of performances and that kind of intestinal and mental fortitude to prepare yourself as a group, as a coaching staff, and as a team to get you ready to go out there and play playoff basketball in the Eastern Conference. And when you look at the complexion of the Eastern Conference, you know, some might look at the Knicks and say to themselves, well, I mean, it might be the best starting five in the Eastern Conference. That's fair. Some people might look at it and say, well, you know what? I get it. I don't know if I necessarily trust Brown and what this team is going to do defensively. I don't think you can have, in big-time moments, Brunson and Towns on the court at the same time defensively. Brunson's going to go out there and relentlessly get picked on. Look at the way that the Detroit Pistons go out there and handle Brunson, how the Rockets handled him for two and a half quarters last night. You can look at it and say, well, I think it's all of a sudden. The funny thing to me in the East is people looking at the Cleveland Cavaliers and looking at Harden. And maybe, you know, Tiger doesn't change his stripes. I mean, James Harden is never wasn't in Houston, wasn't in Los Angeles, wasn't even in Oklahoma City when he had Durant and he had Westbrook and he was the sixth man coming off the bench. James Harden is always, he's going to be a Hall of Famer, but has always been a terrible playoff performer. But now people are basically falling over themselves about the duo of Mitchell and Harden out there in Cleveland with the Cavaliers. And then you get the Boston Celtics. You know it's basically a four-horse race. And the Celtics, obviously, their brilliance or how good they can be can take an uptick in terms of the return of Jason Tatum. And then what version of Jason Tatum do we get after he ruptured his Achilles, you know, last spring in Madison Square Garden? But for the Knicks, you worry about the here and now. And you got to enjoy it. As we get set, and I got to be honest with you, mercy on this winter. As we get set for, and I was talking to Alex before the start of the show, I guess it's supposed to start raining right around noon. Snowfall is supposed to begin around 1. We're expecting, a foot and a half snow. And I get it. There are winter people. There are people that enjoy the cold. There are people that enjoy the snow. There are people that go out there and enjoy, like, the frigid conditions. I'm not a skier. I don't snowboard. I like to take my kids sledding on a day-in, day-out basis here or there, right, whenever they can. And they haven't been able to do it in, like, 4 or 5 years. I mean, because there's been no snow, but enjoy that when it snows, right? Don't necessarily like clean up after the dog. The dog has issues. Find a place to go to the bathroom. Chip, that is, when it goes out there and we have unbelievable amounts of snow, right? Don't necessarily need to wake up and it's 5 degrees outside, minus five with the wind chill. Don't necessarily enjoy that. But this winter, I can deal with a storm, maybe two. This winter has been barbarically brutal. Can't take it. I mean, the idea now of sitting back, waiting, and relaxing, and then having to deal with everything that comes along, whether it be the driveway, whether it be salt in the pathway, whether it be clean up the cars, whether everything that comes along with it. The fact that the kids are going to be locked in the house, nowhere to go, because it's snowing outside. This winter, you could take it. I'm not looking to move out to Colorado anytime soon. Don't necessarily. And I enjoy sitting back. I'm more of a lodge guy than I am going out there on the slopes. I'll sit back, relax by the fireplace in the lodge, watch a little, some sports on the TV, have a nice conversation, whatever it might be. I don't necessarily need to sit back there and hop on the slopes. Not that kind of guy. But for this, this isn't even about skiing. This isn't even about snowboarding. This has nothing to do with that. This has been a barbarically brutal winter. Can't take it. Whether it be the skin dry as the Sahara, there's not enough lotion at CVS that can get you ready for that. And then we have to deal with again, sitting here. We can't even get through the month of February without yet another snowstorm. And it's not like a 2-3 inches, 5 inches. It's got to be a foot and a half. Blizzard-like conditions where you're getting warnings for 2 days as I'm driving down the hutch yesterday. Enough. I know it's been 5 years, 6 years, but enough. The kids love it. You know why? Because they're probably going to be out of school tomorrow. But enough. At least we had the Knicks last night. At least we had that. Which was a great regular season win. Very satisfying. But today you wake up, you got a little gold medal game, United States, Canada, over in Italy. Sit back, relax, get ready for the snow to come. More snow, and then the cleanup, and then the dirty snow, and then it doesn't go away, and then it just sits there, and then it becomes ice, and then your kids are throwing ice balls at you. All this stuff that comes along with it. Winter has been for the birds. I can deal with the cold to an extent. And we have had very warm winters. But this, you could take the, this has been awful. 820, Melusis with you. 888-808-1019. That is your number to call. We'll come back, mix in some other things into the course of the conversation. We're taking your calls. We're taking it right up until high noon. After a week off following the Super Bowl, we'll touch upon that as well. Get into some of the giant coaching decisions. Obviously, the Jets down in Florham Park and everything they've gone on. The Olympics have been interesting. I'm kind of an Olympic guy. I enjoy it. You know what? It's a little bit of a distraction. Am I going to sit back and watch curling in a couple months? The World Championships? No, I don't even know when they take place. No. But I'll be honest with you. On a Wednesday morning when you wake up and you got curling on, you've got a live competition, you flip around, you know what? It's kind of entertaining. Doesn't necessarily mean I'm locked in. Doesn't necessarily mean I'm all of a sudden going to go out there and grab a pair of skis and try and test my wills going down a double black diamond up there in Vermont because I watched the downhill. No. But I appreciate these individuals, all of them, men and women, for going out there and dedicating themselves and putting their position in to represent their country over at the Olympics. For the better part of 16 days, it's fun. U.S. just took the lead. 1-0 over Canada, 14-minute mark of the first period. I'm trying to see who scored that goal for the United States team. But up one zip, right down the lane, semi-breakaway. Pretty sweet goal. Oh, it's Boldy. There you go. Nice goal. Beautiful. 1-0 United States over there in Milan.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich
free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.